Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Welcome to the show. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles. And today, I am very grateful to have the opportunity to speak with Matt Thornton, who is joining us from the middle of the Mediterranean today. And the work that he does is so very important now for our planet and for human consciousness, and that is to understand the importance and the preciousness of water. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you very much, Elaine. It's absolutely, I said it before, I'm humbled and blessed to be on your show. You've had some amazing people on end to be graced with amongst their presence. I'm deeply, deeply grateful. Thank you very much.
Well, what you're doing is so important, and I want to let people know that you are doing things on a global scale to help to not only employ water in terms of using it to help the economy, but also to help us understand that water is a consciousness. Water is a powerful being. It is alive. And having had the opportunity to study with Dr. Emoto and others, this is very powerful. So you have a broad scope of information you can share.
It is true. I mean, the thing about water, which is deeply magical and deeply mysterious, and hopefully we get into some of that, water is a journey you go on. And I used to say to study life, but I was corrected by an indigenous elder today. It's a journey you go on to remember life at its most finest and detailed aspects. And it is a journey that everybody at some stage will go on. It doesn't matter the background, whether they're a scientist or a technologist or environmentalist, which is classically how we look at water, but then bridging the gap into the more artistic aspect, which is where we're getting to now, and the patterns and the geometries that water can produce, but then also getting into the mind of the indigenous communities who really understand water from its contextual cosmic point of view. Yes. And then there's you and myself, the conscious observers as well, which is the bridge, which is very key to understand that aspect. It doesn't matter which angle you come from, at some point you're going to get in the water journey, fall in, and there's no getting off, there's no getting out, there's no way out. And why would you? Because it's so magical. And everybody meets and everybody provides a little piece of the jigsaw, because I don't think there's anybody who understands it at all, really, for that matter. But everybody's got a small piece of the jigsaw. So what I try and do is be the generalist. I've got a small specialist areas of water, but be a generalist as well and try and keep a hold. And there's a few of us doing this all around the world, and we're very connected. I'm just one of them, to bring the story of water and to tell a new story of water so that we can create what I do is a new water conscious generation, which is the name of my venture, the new water generation. Mm. Create a generation who are a new water conscious generation, for that matter. In the words of a wonderful Hawaiian indigenous elder, Reverend Kalani Sousa, I think you'll meet him on Thursday, actually.
Yes.
He would say, when we understand water, the planet is safe. And I think that is so profound when we begin to understand water, not through a rational mind, but through an experiential point of view. And that's what I try and do, is to give experience with water. And that might come through the rational side, but some understanding as well. And that might come through experience as well. When you have experience, you gain more understanding. When you have more understanding, you gain more experience. And it's like a weave between science, quantum physics, indigenous knowledge, and your own intuitive journey, which is very key.
Well, what I think is so important, Matt, is we forget that water understands us. We want to understand water, but water already understands us, because our very life begins, and as the indigenous world says, in the first ocean. The first ocean being amniotic fluid. So it is orchestrating with percussive sound of the mother's heartbeat how to bring this beautiful amalgamation of elements together to create a human body in a very short period of time.
The formative energies and how it flows and how energy flows through water is just simply miraculous, and it's part of the beauty. It's like water is the glove in the hand of consciousness, as Moses Hackman would say from the water channel. He's a very beautiful speaker. But it's true what you just said there. I just want to comment on that, is that water understands us. Well, it's Water understands everything because it's such a marriage between the fundamental nature of reality, consciousness, and water. It's the movement that brings consciousness to become visual for us. And it will understand us individually as well. You look at Veda Austin's work as well. It will, when the heart is open, water displays its full magic to those whose heart is open to it. And it will know when they're not. And if you're trying to experiment and dissect it or try and treat it rationally, it closes off. And so it's about letting go and falling forward and kind of diving in, and it'll express itself according to where you are in your consciousness and take you on a little bit further of what I call the water journey.
Yes. To remember it. So explain the water journey, if you would, please.
Well, water journey is just it's just a thing we a few of us made up. It's like water is not, how can you describe what water is? It's a journey you go on. And I said to study life from a Western viewpoint, and it was corrected. It's a journey you go on to remember life. And this is why I said it doesn't matter where you come from, whether you're a scientist, environmentalist, technologist, which is classical, or bridging into the artistic aspect, you will step onto this water journey. And what is really great at the moment is that there have been some new discoveries of water, because water from a Western viewpoint, the dominant viewpoint, is anomalous. It has a number of anomalous qualities. It does not fit into the normal nature of physics, chemistry, and biology. And therefore that is swept aside. And therefore we have misinterpreted it and misunderstood water and created structures that are set up to pollute as a result of this, because we're not working with water's natural rhythms and cycles. But I mean, this was postulated around about 100 years ago that water has more phases than normal. And I know Jerry Pollack's work just recently has brought this to the forefront, but it's not the only thing. But there's been some new discoveries of water that has allowed us to see deeper into its structures, its patterns, its movement. And it doesn't matter whether it's physics, chemistry, or biology. So that's allowed us to see into water. So what I try and do is explain the fact is that water has two characteristics. To make it really simple, it's got the physical characteristics, which we know and love, and water is H2O, and that's how we've grown up effectively. Water is water is water. And I come from that background of no, of that's all I knew, and you forgot about it. Now with water has the other characteristics, which is it's more informational properties, it's more informational characteristics, it's energetic characteristics. Yes. And being able to see into that, irrespective of energy itself is a challenging word for science, because it's multidimensional. It's got informational and energetic qualities, and now we're being able to see into that, and it's dynamic as well. And so when we realize that water has these two characteristics, and we have new ways of observing water, and we can see it macroscopically as well as microscopically, we have now, it's now bringing it to the forefront to make it very easy. And I think there's a mass awakening on the planet with protection of the environment, connection to the environment, the loss of our connection to the environment, the indigenous wisdoms getting closer and realizing that we're becoming, some of us becoming worthy to receive the information. And so we're stepping on this journey, and everybody's having their own intuitive moment with water. And I all I can say, there'll be a moment of awe and magic. It's a bit like looking up at the stars at night and really connecting. And when you look at water in this way and you have this connection, it will then take you on a journey, it'll embrace you, and you cannot but not have a love affair with water. And I like to say that water is a love story that's not yet been told. And it's about
that. I love that, because what's, you know, many people don't understand that the sciences are the study of what already exists. We often think of scientists creating something new. There is nothing new that science is creating. It is just trying to discover, but it doesn't need to discover. It just needs to observe.
Science, I mean, I have a science background, but I don't consider myself a scientist, because I break the rules, the current rules, because I find the way it thinks is somewhat...
Good job.
Yeah, it's a bit limited. I've always been a bit of a rule breaker, an edge walker kind of thing. But science is inquiry into the truth. That's not the journey. And also within science, okay, there are levels of consciousness between sciences as well, and discussions, and that's what it's all about. It's inquiry into the truth. The truth is somewhere else. And interesting enough, that probably the most advanced science at the moment, should we say, the more quantum aspects of quantum physics and quantum biology and quantum chemistry is coming up, which would be fantastic, because it'd be really rewriting the textbooks is something that's going to happen in a moment. I mean, there is discussion that there is an impending revolution in science. That word is quite you know, it's quite, shall we say, it's quite, I wouldn't say it's controversial, because when we see revolution, I prefer, there's been a renaissance in the study of water, and it's helping us evolve to understanding. But if you look at quantum physics, and right at the far end of quantum physics, they're realizing that, you know, you cannot but not look at the fundamental nature of reality, which is consciousness, as pervades all, and that it's a downward causation instead of upward causation. And at the moment, a lot of science is stuck in pure materialistic consciousness, where this is the fundamental nature of reality being conscious. If you come from that point of view, then it becomes very interesting. And then you look at some of the mysticism, and mysticism and quantum physics is actually quite interrelated, where quantum physics is like the branches coming to find the roots, and the roots is mysticism itself, kind of thing. There's some suggestions. I think it was Capra in the Tower of Physics said it's like, you know, the mystics are the most empirical scientists on the planet.
Absolutely, because they're looking beyond the obvious, and what they have never stopped the ability to recognize what their senses are telling them, and they delve into what the senses are telling them to go further and further and further. And I'd love to at another time continue our conversation, because for gosh, since 2002 I've been teaching sacred geometry and energy medicine. So as a healer, I show how does geometry and sacred geometry help the body exponentially heal.
That is amazing. And you've been doing it for so long. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I studied it for about 3 years before I taught another person. So I didn't just jump into it. So
that
anyway.
That is amazing.
Yeah. So tell me about the work that you're doing now and how you're seeing people change their consciousness about water. Being that you're right in the middle of the Mediterranean, you're surrounded by this very powerful body of water. The water itself must be speaking to you, giving you information.
It is. I mean, I've only been here 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and I got a one-way ticket to Ibiza. And we're here in a community of thought leaders and change makers. It's kind of headquarters is stationed here. And there's people around the globe as well contributing to this. And there's a number of communities around the world doing similar things. And I was excited to be asked to join as one of the water you might call it experts. I have certain expertise in water. So what my role here is to create a new water conscious generation. How are we going to do that? A lot of people, the way I got into water, I simply drank good water. And a lot of people ask that question, what is good water? Which is a beautiful question to ask. And it's a very easy one to answer, but a complicated one to understand. So what I try and do is to take people on it, to give them what I believe is good, is great quality water, that has water that is in tune with its environment, that has the rhythms and cycles, and use technologies that bring water back to its natural efficiency and goodness. So it can be not only hydrating, but works on multi-levels as well. Mm-hmm. So I have one aspect of this is to create technologies for domestic, commercial, and agriculture is what we're looking at, which is one of the biggest polluters out there, and to make them realize how can we fast track agriculture back into its organic roots effectively, and to make people realize that it's not as dramatic as you might think. And we were just working with one thing, and that is the quality of water. It's a very big subject, that is, actually, because when you work with the quality of water, you bring structures back into it, you get greater yields, greater produce, longer shelf life, and you're not working with the destructive elements of chemicals and fertilizers. And you have to wonder, when you look at the understanding of water, when you put fertilizers and chemicals on food, not only is there an allowance of seepage into the soil, which where does that go? And when you look at the numbers, it's just horrific. Right. That goes into the water. That goes into the water table, and no one knows the consequences of one pollutant or toxin, let alone a cocktail of 100,000, and then the rest of it goes into the fruit or the vegetables that you eat. So part of this is to bring technologies that you don't have to have any of that. Very simple, to take people and step them on into, get them introduced into the energetic, the informational properties of water, where water starts to behave as it should do, and then to begin to build infrastructures in communities that will allow people to drink water in its natural state. So one of these is we're creating beautiful water fountains that are, you'll love this, geometrically harmonized into the environment using the earth energy and obviously its space around it, and utilizing technology that is harmonized within itself and in the environment. So you would drink it as if it was it would emulate the quality of a natural spring in its natural environment, but in an urban environment. So we want to put thousands of these into cities. Now there's a few people doing similar, I wouldn't say similar, I don't think they believe they're doing it at this level. And I got the idea from the Victorians, would you believe it, who created 5,000 water fountains to stop people drinking gin in London about 150 years ago. And there's these geometrically masterpieces, but most of them are in disrepair. And they don't work. So I was inspired by that, by let's bring this back into a much more, connected understanding of not only is it technology, because also when you're working with technology and electronics as well, it will break down the structure of water. And this is another thing when we understand water, we're looking at multiple levels. We're working in the subtle realms of energy. And it's that when we bring in those energies and we propagate the any waves, any technology that is coming out, it's the quality of the wave, not the wave itself. So we're going from quantitative understanding of water measurement to qualitative understanding of water measurement and qualitative aspect of energy, not a quantitative aspect of energy. So working with technologies for that, but also other aspects of this is the experience of water. Now, when our dear great ambassador of water, Masaru Emoto, transitioned, he left a lot of great information. Some of it has not been brought into the mainstream at the moment, and I believe his greatest work will come. But he also made ceremony mainstream. And so he created a very universal ceremonial protocol, which we all did. And when he transitioned, I was the only person in England trained by him specifically. There was a few people in Scotland. So we just started doing synchronous ceremonies. Not really quite feeling that we were worthy of doing this, but we just stepped forward and started doing this and started doing ceremony. And that was about 5 or 6 years ago and in celebration of his work. And now it's like any excuse for a ceremony. And just to let you know how far we've gone with this is that last year when we could have gatherings, we had 500 people gather in London to do a pilgrimage through sacred sites and to have ceremony at each point, and a specific water ceremony only. We had like 300 people pitch up. And I remember Emoto's last words in London. He said, when people were looking at us and chanting these Japanese kind of mantras, and people were looking strangely at all sort of stuff, and he would say something like, people think we're joining a cult, but one day this will be mainstream. And I remember this ceremony last year, 5 or 6 years later on, with 300 people blessing water, bringing all the cultures that they've got. London, very multicultural. And there's no real rules in a ceremony. It's just reverence to water in whatever way that, yes, that is inherent towards you. It's not a complicated thing. And I looked up at this, said to the great spirit of Emoto, and I said, we're not mainstream yet, but we're close. And it's like, with my background as well, was of ex-military, and it's like, if I can transition from that kind of mindset into realizing that ceremony, ritual, and the ultimate understanding of prayer is what is the journey that I've come onto, and now tapping into the indigenous mindset of and their relation to water. I'm not saying I've got that, but I've started to realize this is the journey it takes you on, and it brings you into the contextual side. And so part of it is giving people, what I do is the experience of that. Let's have a ceremony. It doesn't matter. Let's make it simple. Teaching children as well. I must promote the Emoto Peace Project, which is Masaru Emoto's, one of his greatest offerings. Was to teach all children on earth the power of our thoughts, the words, and our prayers in relation to water and how it correlates to peace. And so there's 750 million children on the planet. And with the group I've got around here, we're looking at how can we accelerate this into the younger generation who get it, by the way. The younger generation, the children understand this. Oh, and it's of no surprise when we teach it to them, they look at us almost strangely and going, they love it. They love it. And it's us realizing we've just got disconnected ourselves. And so it's reestablishing this concrete coherence of this beautiful message he had, which is very simple. He was not a water scientist. He was somebody who had a beautiful relationship, beautiful to water. And so part of what we're doing with the new water generation is to bring that very simple experiences. It could be adventure. It could be pilgrimage. It could be ceremony. It could be teachings. And so part of what I do is that the talks I might do might be to take people on a journey from science, rational science, to new science, to the environment, to consciousness, and to let people see the beautiful patterns and the magic in water. And when you start with, you know, when you calm the rational mind, the heart opens and the wisdom just flows in freely. And people, they, you know, if we can get people to revere water one drop at a time or one person at a time, that's what's going to happen. But with what's going on at the moment, as we know, this craziness, there's an incredible acceleration going on of awakening. And so part of this is about, you know, something we can't wait anymore. We just got to get going. And it's my old military thing coming again.
Right. A couple of things I'd like to share is, first of all, ceremony, because I work with Indigenous elders. Ceremony is so many people have a misunderstanding of it. They think of it from a religious context, you know, because they're so used to rituals. But ceremony is an acknowledgement of what is. So it's not that you're doing some particular prescribed thing or a prayer. You're acknowledging what already is in existence. So it's, you're opening veils of communication, dimensions of communication. So it's an acknowledgement. It's saying, I am here, and I see that you are here. And secondly, we forget our words, how important our words are, because you use the word mainstream, which by inference refers to water. It's a stream. It's a movement. So, you know, we are a part of this movement. So there's so much that's it needs to be demystified, because it is the greatest obvious thing in our life is water.
It's very beautiful how you said that. And coming from my background as well, no one taught, I was associated water is water is water. Prayer is associated with religion. But even on my own journey, diving in and weaving through this pathway, this beautiful water journey, at the ultimate end of it, it's the nature of prayer and what prayer is. And it's inherent to being human and life itself, mm-hmm. whether it's words or whether it's thought expressed prayer. And looking at how water presents itself through its beautiful geometries and shapes and patterns, it's, and a lot of the sacred scriptures say, make your life a prayer. But I've realized as well that it's absolutely, and when we understand how the subtle energy realms, we go beyond the electromagnetic spectrum, which is too limiting, and the periodic table, which is where science is predominantly, we go into the vital realms, the subtle energy realms, mm-hmm. and understanding that that's instantaneous. Okay, it's not faster than, it's not the speed of light, it's instantaneous. Realize that everything we do is imprinted into the realms, and that it's not about making a life a prayer, it already is. And we just have to wake up to the fact that life is prayer, and we have to live out the life. We have to live out the prayer according to the part that we play in our life to the fullest potential. That's what water has taught me.
And what is so beautiful is, as a healer, so I'm an energy healer and I've been doing this for a very long time. So it brings me into a lot of different worlds of standing in the middle of Stonehenge and doing, you know, when I started to study sacred geometry, it was like Creator said, okay, you want to experience this? How about if we put you in the middle of a crop circle as it's forming? How about if we put you in Stonehenge and you get lead it with somebody who is a world scholar in crop circles? And here, you want to see this geometry? We're going to make you feel it. So what I understood as a healer is, when many people, and even later on today, I'm going to be giving a talk at a university to nursing students about what is healing really. How do you heal the body? You heal the body when you clean your mind. Meaning when you understand there is no greater gift that you will ever have than life itself. And everything you will ever need is here for you. It's beautiful. Just understanding it with dignity and knowing that you're worthy of it, because otherwise you wouldn't be here.
Yes.
But this great understanding of correction, and in the medical world, and for a number of years, I got to work with two different medical schools to help them understand what medicine truly is. Wow. Because it's a Native American word. It's not, yes. It doesn't mean pharmaceutical. It means, is this good for life or is this deter from life?
Wow.
What is good medicine? What is bad medicine? But when people see what they would call a cure is just a correction. And a miracle is a correction at an atomic level. And it happens instantaneously, because we are beings made of atoms. And an atomic reaction is so swift because the entire vibration changes and it appears to be instantaneous. So then it's considered an anomaly, but it is not an anomaly, it's a correction.
Well, what a beautiful way of putting it. And you know, I've been doing some healing myself as well. And one of the reasons I'm here actually in Ibiza is because I spent 35 years in aviation and I decided to put my feet up, effectively my flying boots up, and go 100% all into the waters. Because there's a different psyche of going flying, and it's now to embrace all the things I've taught, or all the things I've been taught by amazing mentors, and to start to bring this out into the world because it's accelerating. So, but I've been very gifted to see the world and the patterns in the world from the aviation perspective. But here I've made the decision to go all in and 100% in. And that includes the healing of the waters as well. And in the words of Masaru Emoto, he would say, the haddo of water is polluted. And it's not that water is polluted itself. It's our consciousness that's polluted, because what we see out there is effects of pollution, not the cause. And the cause is exactly as you said. And so it correlates between healing ourselves and healing the waters. And that's where it's going to happen.
Right. Matt, I'm so sorry, but our time is up. It goes so swiftly. I could talk to you for hours. I probably will someday. So
well,
thank
I hope we
you
can meet
so
personally.
Yes, I would love that. And I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to meet you. And I'm going to be spending time with the woman you also met, Grandmother Sasso, who's a dear friend of mine. So we have to make a deeper connection for you with her.
Well, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. And I think you're doing unbelievable work. Thank you so much indeed.
Thank
Many
you.
Blessings to you.
Thank you. Many blessings to you. And thank you so much for being a part of Earth Wisdom Circles. And thank you for bringing the love and light that you already are to this planet. This is Elaine Grohlman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. You too can make a difference in your world, starting with everything you think, do, and say. All the best.